Morning. We're very happy that each and every one of you are here this morning. Thank you again to our visitors. We appreciate your presence, and I pray that you are edified in what you see and what you hear. Don't forget, before you leave here real quick, grab one of these Remember in Prayer lists. A lot of work goes into that. And take that home for the week and go to God in prayer for these individuals. And also, the events calendar, make sure you take this, you write it on your calendar at home, and make it your goal to participate in that. Your presence is wanted, and your participation is needed. So make sure you grab a couple of those. If you would, go ahead and bow with me, please. I'd like to begin my lesson with a prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we bow this morning before your throne of grace. We humble ourselves before you, Father. And help us, Lord, as a church this new year, as dedicated disciples of Jesus, workers, help us, Father, to not be ashamed of our purpose, not be ashamed of being followers of Jesus as Christians. Help us, Father, to have courage and strength each and every day this year. And help us, Father, to glorify you in all things. Help us, Lord, to look around us, to look for opportunities to seek and find the weak and the lost around us and have courage, have a desire to introduce them to Jesus, to his saving message. Help us, Father, to always stand for truth and to reflect Jesus in all that we say and do. We pray these things in his holy name. Amen. You know, our struggle sometimes is we try to make God into something else, or we make something else into God. And we need to be very mindful of how and why we are building and what we are building upon. Now, of course, our theme for the year, as I spoke about last week, you know, when you build anything, it takes vision, right? It takes preparation. And really, that's what we're talking about. Now, we already have the building plan given to us. We need to do our part in all of this. And so in this lesson here, we're going to focus on the evidence and the actions that characterize a life well built on the rock of Jesus Christ. When Christy and I lived in California, it's been a couple decades ago now, we built a house. And during that time, I was the general manager for my father-in-law's concrete construction business. And we were contracted to do all the concrete in this subdivision that we're in charge of, right? So I got to oversee the foundation for my house. And I knew that if I did it exactly as I was supposed to, and I went above and beyond, by the way, that anything that was built after that, if there was any issues after that, it wasn't going to be the fault of the foundation. I want you to have that image in your mind here as we talk about our theme for the year and our lesson here for this morning. And we're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Our scripture reading earlier, verses 19 through 22, our theme verse for the year. And what's very neat and interesting about the book of Ephesians is he's going to use some metaphors. One metaphor is a building, a house, and the other is a body. And the book is about allowing Christ to control your life. But first, understand that all spiritual blessings are only found in Christ, in his body, in his house, or his kingdom. And so it's this reminder of what we have in his house and all the spiritual blessings that are in there. And if you can truly see that, If you can truly understand that, you're going to walk a particular way. The way you live, it's going to show there's something different about you. And so let's examine that this morning here. And I want to read these verses here, verses 19 through 22. And I want you to notice the building or construction wording here, the references to structure. In these four verses, I count 10. Now therefore, I'm in chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Right in these verses here, I see household, built two times, foundation, cornerstone, building or whole building, fitted together, growing, temple, and dwelling. Back in chapter 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. That means any spiritual blessing that's out there, that's available, it's only to be found in Christ Jesus. And you go through chapter 1 a little bit more, and you see that acceptance, verse 6, is found in him. Redemption and forgiveness is found in him. Chapter 2 and verse 16, a reconciliation with God is found in him. And you go through the end of the book there, chapter 6 and verse 10, strength is found there, of course, after you put on the whole armor of God. And so on and so forth. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. And these verses here that we just read, that's what our year, what we're going to be learning, is going to be all about. Right? And for you to do your part in the household of God, in the body of Christ, you need to make sure that you're in Christ first. Because that's where all the spiritual blessings are. And once you see that and you understand that, you're going to behave, you're going to live a very particular way, and that building process is going to continue. Something interesting I'd like to mention here before we go on to our three main points this morning. You know, the word disciple is found in your New Testament 275 times. And all of those are found exclusively in the gospel accounts and then the book of Acts. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I think about it all the time. You know, why is that? Well, the best answer I can come up with is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about how to be a disciple. Or what a disciple consists of. Learning about Jesus, following Jesus. Following in the footsteps of Jesus because of who he is and what he did for us. And then in the book of Acts, it's telling us how to become a disciple, right? All of those examples. You know, there in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, or the Ethiopian eunuch, or the Philippian jailer, right? It's teaching us, giving us examples how to be a disciple. And then Romans, through the end of your New Testament, is how to live as a disciple of Jesus, right? Giving us detailed instructions on that. And so, you know, before I was a disciple, I was a stranger, I was a foreigner. But now I'm a fellow citizen. Right, I've been allowed into the household of God. And that's going to change me as a disciple. I am now a fellow citizen here. I'm a saint. I'm a member of God's household. What a blessing. With that being true, now I am reckoned with the people of God because of what you read there in chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians. Right now, I'm entitled to certain privileges as being a member of the household of God. I no longer am regarded as an outcast or an alien. And so, of course, now, as part of this kingdom, I've got some responsibilities. Right? I've got some wonderful blessings as part of this kingdom. I humbly submit to the king, and now I fulfill the duties of a citizen of that kingdom, being a member of that household. Right? And with all that being true, he says, now therefore you, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you see that? As a fellow citizen, as a member of the household of God. He says, I'm talking to you. There's some construction, some building standards that you need to be aware of. Point number one this morning out of three. Let's talk about why we build. Look there at verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Paul was speaking to a people here whose past was filled with sin, and he mentions that in verse 2. We're going to read in a moment. But back in Acts chapter 19, Paul's third missionary journey, in verse 9, he runs into individuals that were hardened believers, and they were idol worshipers, but they learned about Jesus. They responded. Now they're no longer strangers or aliens. Right? They responded to the message of Christ, and they were allowed in the household of God, and all those spiritual blessings were now theirs. And so Paul's reminding them of that in chapter 2 of Ephesians. You want to talk about why we build? Right there. And if you actually read that same chapter there in Ephesians, back up to verse 1 through 3. And you he made alive. Remember, you were dead in your sins. But Jesus died for you. And he made you alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's what you once were. Remember, he's talking to Christians. All of us were once that, lost in our sin, outside of the household of God. You want to talk about why we build? That's why we build, because we've been saved. Saved from darkness, eternal separation from God, eternal hell. We've been saved from that. And therefore we build. That's why we build. Do you need motivation? Well, that's it right there. That's why we build. In verses 11 and 12 here in Ephesians chapter 2, be reminded of this. Therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a very bad place. That's what we were saved from. That's why we built. What a wonderful thought that is. 1 Timothy, the third chapter, and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Be reminded of this statement right here. He's saying, I write these things. He says, I write these things so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God. You see that? Paul, what is that? He goes on to say, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Why we build? Number one, what we've been saved from. But also, God tells us to build as members of the household of God, and he's given us instructions. And what a wonderful thought that is. And if you were to go, as I change the screen to point number two, real quick here. If you were to go back to places like Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon. Right? And at least 3,000 that day, where they were listening, they heard that message about Jesus Christ and him being crucified, and they're cut to the heart, verse 37. And they were hurting because they realized their sin problem. And they say, what do we do about this sin problem there in verse 37? And most of us know the answer, verse 38, repent and be baptized. Right, verse 41, you have those, they gladly received that word and they are baptized. And in verse 47, and the Lord added them to his church, those who were saved. Those who were saved, who heard the gospel and believed it and repented of their sins, were baptized. The Lord added to his church, to his body, to his kingdom, to his household, all of those descriptions of that that body that saves us, that entity that saves us. Galatians 3 and verse 27 reminds us that those of us who are baptized into Christ are clothed with Christ. Wonderful blessings. That's why we build. And going on to point number two here, we're going to talk about what we build. What do we build? Let's talk about that in verses 20 and 21. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Let's talk about that foundation, which consists of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know, no other foundation is authorized. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14 and verse 6. Acts 4 and verse 12. There's no salvation under any other name under heaven except Jesus Christ. You know, and Kristen and I, when we built that house, I knew that that foundation was about as flawless as a foundation built with human hands could get. I did all the extra stuff out in California. The code was 3.5-inch concrete. Not talking about the footings, but the slab. Well, that wasn't good enough for me. I did 5 inches, right? You only had to have a mesh in the concrete. I did that, and I did rebar mesh. Right? If the footings called for 3/8 rebar, I did 5/8, right? Or I did everything I could, and I put everything extra in there to make sure it was really strong and really flat. If you've ever messed with a house that had humps in it, it's going to throw everything off. Or if that house isn't square, you know, I made sure it was on the lot perfectly, and I made sure it was square perfectly. And again, so when others came to build on that, if there's any other issues, I knew it was going to be that foundation. Right, when I built it to design, when I built it by a plan, anything else be fault of the other people in that process. Right, they could not blame any problems on the foundation. In this book here of Ephesians, the church of God is compared to a city which has a variety of privileges and rights. And Paul's going to use some cultural truths to teach them spiritual truths. You know, the thing about it was, you know, he of course, the church at Ephesus had Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in it. And the thing about it is, using those cultural truths that he was teaching, spiritual truths, you know, if a Gentile went to live in Jerusalem, they didn't really have a lot of privileges. Right, they could only stay there for a short amount of time. You couldn't buy a house. You couldn't go in the temple and worship. Now, you could rent a house for a short amount of time, but there weren't full privileges. And so Paul is trying to get them and get us to see, using that example, alluding to us outside of Christ, we were strangers. Right, that's what the Jews call the Gentiles. They're strangers. Yeah, they're around, but they're really strangers. They're foreigners or aliens. And he's saying for us in Christ, we don't have to be aliens and strangers. We are full members of the household of God. Right, as Christians, fellow citizens, we don't have to be strangers to God due to the grace of God and the love of God. And the love of God offers a communion with him through Jesus Christ. He welcomed them. He welcomes us to his throne of grace, an eternal dwelling place where we're freed from the servitude and the bondage that we were stuck with in sin. Now we have access to freedom and liberty. Go back in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Right, and now, as members of the household of God, we're well taken care of. We have provisions. Right, a never-fading inheritance, Ephesians 1 and verse 11. Read with me here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 11. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Now you there, second person plural, he's talking about the church. Now he's going to talk about you as the individual Christian over in chapter 6, but here he's talking to the church, us. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this as you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we are looking at quite a few verses this morning. We're talking about the foundation, what we build. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, when you see that phrase, what we read there in our theme verse in Ephesians 2, when it says prophets and apostles, it's talking about the teachings of God's Scripture. Prophets is going to refer to the Old Testament, and the apostles, the New Testament. Right? And Jesus talked about this while he is here on the earth in John 16 and 17. He's saying the Helper's coming, he's going to help you. Well, what did that help consist of? Of course, part of that was God was going to guide his apostles to write Scripture. We're talking about the foundation here. Verses 19 through 21, if you have that in 1 Peter 1. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What we build with is Scripture. No other source. Right, listen, same chapter, verse 3. God has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. We don't need anything else. We don't need man-made philosophy, man-made tradition. We don't need councils or synods. We don't need organizational hierarchy to determine what Scripture says, to determine what we do and don't do. No building to be placed on philosophy, basis of religious doctrine, or one man in Rome. Right? This building here that we're talking about, of course, we're not talking about the physical building. This is just a building. There's nothing holy about it. It's not a sanctuary. It's just a blessing where God's church, that's us, the people, can get together and meet. And so when you think about this, this building, this spiritual building that we're talking about, no decrees of councils, no ordinances of synods, none of that stuff. And I'm thankful that probably half of us here don't even know what that means. No standard of doctrines, of conferences, man-made creeds, man-made confessions of faith, which you will not find in your Bible. Right? So we're talking about the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. That's what we build upon. Nothing else. Nothing added. That's what our Bible teaches us. In whom, he says, we are being built together for a dwelling place. In Isaiah, in your Old Testament, in verse 28 and verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. That's who we build upon. That's where we get all of our authority. And of course, a cornerstone is the most important item of any foundation. And we know that, and the whole structure rests mainly on the cornerstone, and the cornerstone occupies a conspicuous and honorable place in the structure. And the Lord is called the cornerstone. Not a man or a creed, but Jesus. That's why we don't need anything else but this. Back in Ephesians, the second chapter, let me read a couple more things. We're going to move on here to our third and final point. Remember, Jesus is the master builder. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors. And that's an elder, by the way. And teachers. Well, why? Well, you keep reading. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the whole body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man or mature follower of Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, you know, when you think about any building, right, you got different parts of the building, you know, the rafters and the walls, and modern buildings, of course, plumbing and electricity and all of that. They all come together for a purpose, and they're all part of the building, but they have different purposes. When he uses this metaphor here about us, right, we're all part of that spiritual building. We all have different talents and abilities and uses, but we're all part of that spiritual building. Right? Have you found your place within the body of Christ, within that building? Right? Make sure you're part of that, that makes it that sound structure, that unity. Right? He talks about that unity here in chapter 4, right? In verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and in you all. What we build on is the foundation of Jesus Christ. We build on the teachings, the prophets and the apostles, what was given to us, what was revealed in Scripture, nothing else. Nothing but that. That's what we build on. Number 3 here this morning, look at verse 22. Here's our third and final point. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now listen, now we got a place to dwell. Now we've got a home. We have a home that we're invited into. A household. We were out there in the dark, in the cold, without God, without Christ, eternally lost. And we deserved it. God says, no, I want you in my house. I have room for you. What a wonderful thought. We now have a home to abide in, a place to dwell. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read to you verses 16 and 17, same chapter that we were at a moment ago. And if you remember verse 22 there in Ephesians, it's teaching us, of course, among many things, that the church is a spiritual kingdom. And I hope that you see that here in verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Again, he's talking to the church. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you, church. Now the individual, different, again, conversation in verse 6. Or chapter 6. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you, church, are. You see, God is glorified in the church. Everything that we have is made possible by the Word of God, which was given to us through the Holy Spirit. Everything pertaining to the church, right? 2 Peter 1, verse 3, everything pertaining to life and godliness. But I want you to see here in this third and final point that, again, we have somewhere to now live. We have somewhere now that we can dwell. And what a wonderful thought that is. In Ephesians, the second chapter, I'd like you to read with me what he's talking about here again in chapter 4 and verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we've been invited to be a part of, a very special and unique body, a very special and unique building. J.W. McGarvey, I've got a quote here. I didn't put it on the screen, but I want to read a quote here and then finish up with a thought, and then the lesson is yours. Listen very carefully to this quote. J.W. McGarvey wrote, quote, "The Church of God is very properly said to be the most noble and wonderful work and truly worthy of God Himself. It is the place in which God does His marvelous works, the arena of His justice, mercy, goodness, and truth, where He is to be sought, where He is to be found. And in Him alone, He is to be retained, as we have the only one God and one Savior, mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone." What a wonderful thought he gives us there. You know, throughout that whole building process of our house, you know, every phase, you had individuals responsible. Of course, the concrete, I was responsible. But before I could ever lay that concrete for the foundation, you got to have an inspector come in, right? Make sure everything's right according to code. And you do the foundation, and then others get in there, the framers and electricians and the plumbers, you know, and they're owners of their companies are responsible for the work they do. The inspector, again, comes in and checks every part of that. You've got a field manager that's supposed to be coming in and checking on everybody's work. And if everyone does their job, that house is going to be built the way it should be built. And it's going to be a very sound structure. And then it's going to be ready for a family to move in. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Maybe I've said this before, but it's my favorite verse in the entire Bible. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." God has blessed us with a new year. And I want you to think about where you are spiritually. Where are you? Are you trying to have one foot in the house of God and one foot in the world? You kind of like the things of the world and living like the world. And I sure like this idea of the church. Yeah, I believe in God, but I sure like being who I am, doing the things that I want to do. God says you got to make a decision. You can't be half in and half out. You're either in or you're out. Where are you this morning? Peter preached a very powerful sermon, Acts chapter 2. And Jesus refers to that sermon in Matthew, the 16th chapter. He says, he talks about the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he's talking to Peter. Peter, you know, he made that confession of faith. You're the Christ, Son of the living God. And he talks about the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And Peter was blessed. He had the opportunity to preach the first gospel sermon to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and then to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. The keys to the kingdom of heaven is the gospel message. It's a story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That is the key. All houses have a key. That's the key to get in. And God has been telling us that ever since the church began. That is the key. Have you accepted that key? God's not going to force you into the house. That key is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Listen, in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, it says when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and do not obey his gospel. What's the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You can believe in God and not obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you're not in the house. You're an alien, you're a stranger, you're a foreigner. How do you obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Paul sheds light on that in Romans 6, 3, and 4. You reenact his death, his burial, and his resurrection in water for the forgiveness of sins. Are you convicted with your sin? You've never obeyed the gospel? This morning's your opportunity. Let us show you the love of God and how to do that or study that more. We love you. We love your soul. We want you to be saved. If you've done that and you've left his household, you went back to a lifestyle of sin, let us show you the love of God and help you come back home. The angels are waiting. You have a spiritual need this morning, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.